Your house should be aiming in place for sages. We finished Dalet now that I think about it, right?
The last thing we talked about.
Right? That being. Well,
I don't
I'm sorry.
We finished Ben Yuna on Dalet.
I think we did, but I'll do the last one just to be safe. Okay, you should have a Beit Vad. Your house should be a meeting place for these sages. We spoke about there's numerous ways to do that. Literally do it. Like, make your house a place of chesed. It's possible. It's a little bit difficult, but trust me, you can have to make chacham frequent your house. Another thing is to make chacham alive in your house. That's Gemara Shitoso saying it out loud. Chaim, the Rosh, what have you. That's definitely another way. You should give everybody kavod, the Rabbi Yonah says there are levels of kavod, so don't just think it just there's Rabbi and Talmud, there's Rabbi Talmud, there's Sholmeshev, there's Kolmek, there's Avrech, there's Balbas, there's that, and everybody on their own level, like it's not black and white. You should think they were thirstily. Why thirstily? Why not just, you should pay a lot of attention, would have been nice also, no? Seem like, right? It's difficult sometimes to pay attention, especially when the Torah is very difficult. Moshe Nehemiah says in the Pasuk in Mishlein, Nefesh Sve'a Tavos Nefet V'Nefesh Re'eva Komar Matok, that a full soul will trample the honeycomb, and a soul that is hungry will, everything that is sweet is everything that is bitter is sweet. That Pasuk specifically is talking about someone who is hungry or thirsty, superficially. And I brought in the same Maisa that I spoke about I read about the Holocaust, about the person who made their first first clean glass of water, and it was almost sickly sweet, which is very disturbing, unfortunately. It's that idea that when you are so thirsty, right. When you are so thirsty, you're so hungry, you'll notice that what you're eating just tastes better, it's more sweet. Okay, but if you're full, it will disgust you, and like it's just like, you can't have that another scoop of ice cream after you finish two boxes. Anyway, it's gross. You don't want to do that, right? But if you were starving, or if you were just hungry, it'd be delicious, right? So this is what we're saying here. It's like, what's your stance with Torah? Is it...
Has a different chef.
Okay, I know someone told you. But in any case, and it's probably not a compliment, but in any case...
It's actually really good.
Thank you. But this is what we're saying. And this doesn't just apply to Torah, okay? Is there napkins on the table? I feel bad now.
She's got napkins.
Okay, well then in that case, I don't feel so bad. Listen, what was I saying? Yeah, no, so, but this is not just, does not just apply to Torah. This is a very, very deep concept. It looks simple, but it's the standpoint, the perspective in which you take certain aspects of life. I will start with Torah, okay? Because that's the main message of the Rabbi Yonah. If you feel like you did your yeshiva and you're good, then you don't want to hear Torah. So even if someone brings you the sweetest Torah you've ever heard, that piece of hashkafa or masr that will really change your life, you won't hear it because you don't want it because you're full. You are really tired. You're not want to hear another word of Torah because you're full. So if your standpoint on Torah is, wow, I'm so thirsty, I want to drink every single word, every single Torah that you understand, that you hear, you will enjoy as if it was sweet, even if it's bitter to you. What do you mean it's bitter to you? You can't understand it, can't wrap your mind around it. Meaning, if I don't understand something, it really, really bothers me. I give people, like my Rebbe, a very, very hard time. I really, really want to understand what's going on. So sometimes I'm asked for Psak Halacha, and the Rebbe does not give me the opportunity to push him as much as I want in order to understand where it's coming from the Makoros, because that's not necessarily, you don't have to, there's other people out of the So I walk away still happy. Why? I'm bothered, and I'm probably not going to look at Chumash Rashi and Tur and Nosei Kelim, Shulchan Aruch Nosei Kelim, v'chulei. But like, I'm happy. Why am I happy? I'm happy because I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know what I was told is probably right. It's Torah nonetheless, Shishita. So the same thing here. When you're told something, even if it doesn't necessarily make sense to you, you'll be happy to hear it. That's generally not how people work, by the way. Or how they should work, I want to say. Generally, if you hear something stupid, you should not be excited to hear it, because it should be a waste of your time. Have you ever sat through a class that the person obviously was either just dumb or did not understand fully what you were saying, thought out? You were so irritated and so bored? Okay? I used to have that all the time.
There's this one I have to go to once a week.
Okay. So like, you know, and the guy's like, he's up there in the suit. He's like, yeah, he has a PhD, or like, you know, he has a smicha or whatever it is. And he's like, yes, well, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, wow, this makes no sense. You just want to ask, did you think about this before? Does this make sense to you? Like, you just love, it'll just drive you crazy. Not so with Torah. If you take a viewpoint of Torah, it's like, Torah, as long as you're trying to learn it and there's words of Torah coming out of someone else's mouth, you're getting schar over here. Okay? So if you view it as such, then you will thirstily drink that Torah and you'll be gaining more and more of it. It's a more efficient use, it's like an efficiency tool.
Regardless of its like attractiveness.
Correct. That's exactly the point. That's the point that he's trying to say. That's why we had to use shote betzama at the rim. Drink thirstily, their words. Okay? I also want to underline, though, this is not just, you know, I'm not sure if it's supposed to apply to Jared, the GTS graduate. I think this is, he says, v'shote betzama at divrehem. Divrehem is divrei chachamim. Sounds like this is a viewpoint you're supposed to have from someone you think is learned. Someone who's learned to say something that doesn't make sense. Chances are you don't know what you're talking about, not him. Chances are he's thought out, not you. You have to figure out who's a learned person, though. There's a lot of people who fake. But, not fake, but let's say put on, like they have external. Well, not that they're trying to fake you out, but just like, yeah.
Or Yeshivish Kol.
What? Or Yeshivish Kol. Yeah, like, yeah.
Or Yeshivish Kol.
Yeah, something like that. Like, you know, yeah, okay. Good. I'll finish this Rabbinian and we'll start the next Mishnah. We'll finish the Chazara. Mishu Savem Divrei Torah V'Inchasu Behem Afila Omen Lo Margalis B'Tarev Nitam Pearls of Torah Tavusa Tonefshem. His soul just trampled right over them. Okay, this is like a lashon of like Bizayon, you're trampling over Torah. V'Rav Mehem Mita'avel L'Shama'an, but someone who's hungry, he really wants them, because he has almost a natural drive for them, he's really, really pushing himself, he desires to hear it. V'Afila Omen Lo Dover, but let Tom even say something that doesn't make any sense. I shouldn't say make any sense, it doesn't have a reason. You could clearly call her. I'll be sweet in his mouth, and he'll just be happy with it. Shadeshu Amet, because he knows it's true. Achar Sharabo, not anybody. Achar Sharabo, since his master told him, someone who has gained his respect and knowledge, and the philosophy and midos and the like. Okay, we're ready for Mishnah Hay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mishnah Hay is the Mishnah. I'm all worried I'm going to lose all of you. But it was nice knowing you. I'm afraid I lose you now. Okay.
You warned us last time.
I did. Here is the Mishnah. I'm going to read it inside. What's difficult yet beautiful about this Mishnah is really to figure out what's the continuity. We've done this before almost every single Mishnah, trying to figure out the continuity. And this Mishnah particularly, it just kind of sounds like it shifts massive gears after the second statement. Okay, Yossi ben Yochanan Yerushalayim Omer, Yi Beitecha Batuach L'Ravachan, your house should be wide open. And servants should be in your, not servants, poor people should be like the Bnei, what's a Bnei, Ben Bias? Ben Bias, like someone who, even though the person like your family is like your family.
A member.
Yeah, yes, that's good. A member of your household. Very good. I haven't heard a translation like that, but that's pretty accurate. Contextually. Okay, here we go. Here's where we shift gears. Okay, or at least it looks like we're shifting gears. Val tar b'sichei misha, do not talk excessively with women. To the woman. Ha isha. To the woman. Who is the woman and what is the woman? But Ishto Amru, talking about your wife.
We shouldn't talk too much about to your wife.
That's right.
Kal v'chomer v'ish.
Thank God I haven't broken this one then.
Are you sure? Okay. V'ishes chaver. So more so with your friend's wife. Okay, so we need to figure out what's going on here. Now, gets more complicated. V'kanam v'chachamim from here, our sages say, oh, by the way, you should all know that all these Mishnahs is again the halacha. You can look this up in Shulchan Aruch, we'll quote this, the halacha. This is a real thing. Kol zman sha'adim mar besichei me'isha. Anytime that man talks excessively with the woman, goem rada la'atzmo, he causes evil to fall upon himself. Ubotam divrei Torah, and he is mevatel words of Torah. Hasofa yerushkananim, at the end he will inherit hell or purgatory. Yeah.
He's in hell because
okay.
He will... Not because he's talking
to you.
In hell not because he's talking to girls. Not talking to a girl, he's because he's going to...
I want
to
clarify.
...bottle Toro.
Oh, so here's where it gets complicated. You're asking a fine question. Mr. Berman.
I got you.
Notice how this Mishnah said it is not also to talk to girls. It is not also to talk to girls. Okay?
Phew. Thought that was kefir.
Okay, now... what we are saying is that there are... limitations. there are there's a context for everything. The Gemara says that everything that's also in the world is a heter version of it. So they tested Rav Nachman. They said, oh yeah,
homosexuality.
They did not, although I know the answer to that one. But we're not going to talk about it in this class. By the way, there is no heter.
It's not no gay.
Okay, right. there's no heter for that, but you'll understand what it would be. I just don't want to say it out loud from the questions of the Gemara. Okay.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman. They asked Rav Nachman. I think it's in Chulin. This Gemara also appears in the Nachman statement. But in any case, oh yeah. So I really want to have Basar B'Challah. Where can I have that? So Rav Nachman says you can eat an udder. By the way, if you know, udders are like considered a delicacy and delicious, and they're actually full of milk. And they taste really like cheesy and milky. And you can have that. You can have that with me.
You shut the cow that has a baby in it.
Oh, that's been cool. Well, that's more complicated. We're not gonna go over there. Just because I don't even know enough about it, but I know what you're referring to. But in any case, okay. Now la halacha, we don't do this nowadays. But maker adin, udders. Circumstances, you could be having Basar and Chalav at the same time, totally heter, mutter, bedak. Okay, how about Eishes Ish? So the Gemara says, Eishes Ish, great. You always wanted your friend's wife. Your friend divorces his wife. All of a sudden, you can sleep with his wife.
It's not his wife anymore.
I'm not sure that's the point.
It's not that you wanted his wife, it's that you wanted this girl
because you had the relationship with him. Right, you want to get in on that. Now you can't, right? The same thing, like, it's everyone ever imagined, like, they have a serious relationship with a woman, and, like, you hate if they ever broke up with you or divorced you and slept around with someone else and that really kill you? So that's kind of that. Like, we have, like, this really morbid thing that we have, like, we want to cause that to other people. I have no idea why, but it's really messed up. But, no, but I'm serious. Like, this is the thing. So you can do that. Now, again, so we're all about context. Hashem says, listen, it's a lot in this world. I'm not telling you not to enjoy from it. Enjoy it. But you have to enjoy properly in the right settings. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. Okay? I wanted to mention that when I said more than is unnecessarily, means, again, there's a necessary bar. That's number one. That means talking to women, there is a bar where it's okay. Question is that nothing more than hello? Perhaps. And perhaps not.
And do change in time is being like respectable.
We're gonna talk about that. I'm just looking at my notes I took here. Yeah. Okay. Fine. We're gonna have to read the. I don't want to give things away. Let's read the Rabbinian itself, and then I'm gonna build as we go along. This Mishnah really requires tons of concentration, especially on the breadcrumbs I'm gonna leave. We're gonna build something from the ground up. So if you're not with me, it's gonna get a little fuzzy when we get to especially the inyan I'm talking about women. So. If you get confused or if like you missed a part, ask me to repeat it. Yosef ben Yochanan Yishulayim Omer Hibitecha Patuach Revacha says the Rabbeinu Yonah. Yesh Omer, that lives this saying, or there's an opinion that says rather, Shim Se'u Bebeto Harvacha Bene Adam HaTvichim, that one will find in his house that it will be wide or had many Bene Adam that need stuff. Many people that are in need. So that sounds like poor people, no? Poor people.
In his house?
Yeah. You should walk around my house, you'll be seeing poor people reading and eating and relaxing and maybe taking a shower. Like, your house should be like a house just with people who are in need. You should be fulfilling people's needs, especially since you can. And you don't need that at the moment. Or Pirusha. I happen to think that the Rabbeinu thinks that this is the right shot, because I think it flows a little bit better with what he says in the future. But our Pesha, its translation is the following: Sheyeh beito kebet Avraham Avinu, that your house should be like the house of Avraham, our father, Alav Shalom. Shayadar baderech b'makom revacha, he lived on the way in a place of respite. Kedesh sheyit achsenu sham ovrim b'shavim. So people who were travelers and were on the way would just be able to stop by there. They didn't necessarily need it. They were like, you know, the welcome center. I hate driving in a I hate driving or being in the car for more than 10 minutes. Not hate, I just dislike it. I know that people think that's really lame. I didn't get my license until I was like 21. I didn't even want to. So, I just don't like it. Anyway, so like, if I'm ever driving from Maryland to New York, the Delaware Welcome Center, that's my place. I'm like, I can't wait to get out of the car. I'm like, just, ugh. So like, alright, so like, Avril Lavigne, he was like, you were on the way. And it was hot, and it was hard, and it was difficult. And there was a place to get rest. Did you need to stop at his house? No, you were fine. But the house was there anyway. That was a rest stop. So rather, maybe your house should be the rest stop. But you big to betuach arba ruchot, and your house should be open from all four directions. People should be able to come from any side. We called such revelation such a petach betuach gifin l'shem, so that people find an opening and go through there. K'mosh amar Yev, as Yev said, dalati la'orach of tach. My house is my doors. I will open up to the street.
Is there one problem with this?
Yes.
What if somebody who is a danger to you and your family just decides to walk in?
That's a great question.
You are open on all four sides. You can't really control this.
Well, number one, there's an aspect of Shemira when you come to the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and doing mitzvos. Also, you should know there are many people that do this nowadays in Eretz Yisrael. Very pious people. One of them was Rav Machlas, who opened his house. Arabs would walk in. Every day. They still do, actually. Orthodox Jew. And they have not been killed or hurt since they did start doing this. He's the one that has like 200 people for free at his Shabbos meal. People just walk in. Yeah. People, rich people.
You talking about Machlis?
Yeah. Machlis, yeah. Unfortunately, his rabbits in passed away. Yeah.
I went there for a meal before the rabbits passed away.
She was, I heard she was a mom. I mean, I heard, it's quite obvious. She's a humongous tzaddikus. But in any case, see, they did that. Now, let me ask you a question. Did they really do that? Meaning, they help all sorts of people, yeah. I mean, they help needy people. That's the first opinion. But I want to say that they also fill the second opinion at the same time. We don't literally mean that everybody should go live where there's need and no shul and no electricity and no whatever. In the middle of the desert... with your doors open on all four sides and just come in, come out. No. We're saying that that's what it should be like wherever you are. You should have a house that's really welcome open. Rav Machlis and his Rebbetzin really did that. I mean, their house is really like that. People come in, whether you're needy or no, you're not needy. You just want to relax. Just want a cup of coffee. Walk in and have a cup of coffee. It's like, but like, they really, really mekayim, so that's what the Mishnah. Your house should be a place where people come and chill. Happens to be, I guess I'm not very good at this, but every once in a while, Torah Shabbat would come, hey, kind of like, you know, I just chill here for a little bit, can eat something. Okay, great. And come, they do that. No problem with me. And in fact, I kind of like it. Why? Because I feel like I'm, not only do I, of course, like the company, but I feel like I'm kind of this aspect of the Mishnah. When people just like need to get away, but do they really need to get away? No, they just really would like to get away. So that your place is like that. Your place is a home. Outside of everything else.
Home away from home. Right?
Exactly. It could be a home away from home. It could be a home away from yeshiva. Yeshiva not necessarily home. It could be a home away from work. Work is definitely not your own. But it's a home nonetheless. Or, again, like you said, it could even be a home away from home. So that's what the first part of the mission means. Okay, so far so good. We can move on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Betecha, and poor people should be the members of your household. Panim. This is explained in two ways. But Mokona Avadim Umafarnasam, and instead of buying a slave and supporting them, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this concept. Anybody here learn history? That's actually, this slavery was a thing. But you should, even like in halacha, like, I mean, you don't just need to, I mean, people, I mean, this was rampant like 100 years ago. Forget about it. 500 years ago, slave, I mean, it was really, really everywhere. There's still slavery in parts of the world. Big parts of the world. So instead of buying a slave, part of buying a slave could be, is okay, I buy you for 20 years, okay? You're my slave, you do whatever I want, okay? And I'm therefore, however, gonna feed you. Usually more how it worked is you didn't buy someone for 20 years, you bought someone for life. So I'm buying you as a slave and I feed you. You live in the barn, wherever you live, I don't care. Maybe someone else, hopefully ideal, if I'm a Jew, you like the Lachos, we care very much how slave feels in the house, in fact, more than us in a lot of ways. But you live in wherever you live, and I have to feed you. That's my obligation. But I purchased you, and then I give you parnasa. Okay? So instead of doing that, Tell you what, why don't you just use poor people and pay them? Give them what they need. Yeah? Look, number one, you save money. You don't have to shell out to buy the what's Karen? Why did I say Karen in English? The principal. You don't have to pay the principal amount of the slave, right? You need to pay the principal amount of the slave and all the money then you need to shell out in order to feed him, right? You save the principal because you're just saying, hey, Ani, come by me, right? I mean, obviously, you don't make it work like that. That embarrasses the heck out of him. But you understand what I'm saying, right? All right? You don't have to pay for him. And all you have to do is feed him and, like, support him in that way. And he's serving you, so you're gaining. Number one, a loyal servant. Number two, you're not losing money to the principal. Number three, you're getting the massive mitzvah. Okay, and then, shenimtzah marviach lo'osim mitzvah. Because you're supporting him, you also do mitzvah. You see it? So it's like, it's a really, you have a lot of gains here. Again, number one, you're saving on principal. Number two, you, number two and three are really combined. Let's chunk this. Number one, you don't have to pay the principal. Number two, you're gaining a mitzvah. Your slave is now a mitzvah. It is not just a purchase that you made. Buying a car is not a mitzvah, but doing this is a mitzvah. Okay, buying a slave, not a mitzvah, this is a mitzvah. This is the second aspect, and this is really important. If you don't do set two number two right, you ruin number one. This is important, okay? Also, the anim in your house should be regular in your house, and they should stand there and stay there without any embarrassment whatsoever. Baroto lahem panim simcha uvito lahem reshut b'chol asher yesh lo kasher yitin yesh levino la'an shebesim. And you should like be really happy to see them, and you should give them a shus. They pretty much go through all of your stuff. I mean, obviously have some gruel. Meaning, like when my kid grows up, he's not allowed in, you know, my bedroom, and he's not allowed to like touch my. If I had really something valuable, I would want anybody to touch. I'm not sure I would ever care, but whatever it is. Okay, like you know, there's going to be certain limits. It's the same thing, but. You should make someone else the Ben Bias. Okay, so the Ben Bias is also not allowed in your bedroom. But, this is better than the rest of your house. This Ani should feel like he really is a member of your house. Okay? A really good example of this, I feel, or, I mean, it's close. Have you ever, no, you haven't, Rosh Hashanah Aleph, sorry. Working over Pesach. Rosh Hashanah Aleph. Beit also, I don't even remember. But I worked over Pesach. Here. Like before Pesach, doing cleaning for Pesach. So you went over somewhere and they paid you money because you're a poor Yeshiva Bachar and your Yeshiva doesn't give you anything except for bread and jelly, so that gets boring after that. And so you have to, you know, go. But there, when you're working for them, these people come to be like, oh, by the way, I'm cooking dinner. Like, why don't you just like come up like be like, hey, do you want to like kick back a little bit? Or do you want to like, you know, go out for a little bit? Like, some of them don't. Not as fun, but like a lot of them are very, very, very cool about it. So, and they really make you feel like a member of your household. And lo and behold, you'll get members, and that you might actually end up going to that person like one of your four shabbosim. Like, that's kind of what we want over here. You're not a slave. You're not a poor person. They're not trying to make you feel like, you know what I'm saying? But it's that sort of feeling you're supposed to be getting to the Ani of your house. How halacha the Maif says this is difficult. This generally does not happen. It could have though. If you reach some level, that can definitely happen. Someone who's not as fortunate, if you invite that person over, really like make them part of your bias, he'll feel some obligation. I mean, if you feed him dinner every day, you might want to wash the dishes. Like, you know, but the ikar is to make someone feel at home, especially one who is needy. That's v'yonim b'nei b'techa. I'll just finish up this v'yonah. I'm sorry I said this. Kasher yitin yish levno anshei beita. It really should be like family. So, point one, as I said up above in the first day of Ramaskil, is your home should be open that even people don't need. Your place should be a home away from home for people. Okay? House of Chesed. Number two, it should also be a house of tzedakah in a way. Okay? People who are really, really needy should also find a place in your home. So you should be known as like the Chesed home, and you should not be known as a tzedakah home even though you are. That's really the trick, and that's the subtle part. And that's why these are two synonyms. That's why they're two different masculines.
They don't overlap, or they do?
They don't. I think that's... What do you mean by overlap? Meaning, they're two separate subjects that exist within the same reality. Meaning, let's pretend I was really holy and I did this. So my house would be a house of chesed. I'd also have poor people working in this house, which is the house of tzedakah, but I only know that because you don't, and you don't, and you don't. And you don't even know who the poor person is because he has nice clothes because I pay him. And he has, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a whole, I have a whole operation going on that's totally separate from the chesed, but you never know about the tzedakah aspect. But you can't just have chesed and you can't just have tzedakah. If you've been following the kind of half of the Mishnah, you need both. There's two things going on in your home. Okay? You'll be sitting across the table from one guy, ask him, what do you do? And he'll be like, oh, I work on Wall Street. And yes, guy, what he does, he'll be like, you know, like, I try to get a job part-time. I come here a little bit. You know, this guy helps, I clean up a little bit so he doesn't have to pay, like, crazy money for this other guy down the street. This really works out. Like, whatever it may be. But that's, like, the sort of environment that's going on in your home.
Is this supposed to tie into...
I was about to ask that.
That's the trick. This ties in crazy with what we're going to talk about women. Do we have time to even start this conversation now? That's the trick.
We'll do next week, yes.
We have, like, 4 minutes. You want to do it for 4 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. You're just going to get upset, though, because I'm just going to mention Colm, and we're not going to know what that means. But I'm okay with making you a little upset. Okay? Al tirba sicha ima isha. Did not speak excessively. And at the end, I will tie it in. If I forget, sometimes I forget to tie it in. It's tied into my head, so just ask me, and I'll do it for you. But knowing all of you here, you'll probably just do it on your own. Alter basichim ishad. Shesichat nashim mevi'ah l'dei hir her avira v'itl Torah.
Hir her avira v'itl Torah.
Hir her avira is...
Ooh, v'itl Torah. What's hir horim? Do you know what hir horim
is? Hir her avira. I think it's in English.
Bad thoughts.
Bad thoughts. Inappropriate thoughts that one should not be having. Now, it's obvious people have inappropriate thoughts even though they're very pure and work on themselves a lot. We need to talk about a little bit later. But speaking to women excessively just brings it about for no reason. Meaning, when you say, when you're being cordial and you say hello to someone who says hello back to you in the street,
that's respect.
Yeah. That's respect. It's kavod abrios. We're not talking about that. Okay? Everybody demands kavod abrios. Okay? We're not ignoring anybody. We're not spitting in anybody's face. We're not doing any of that. We're nice people. Woman says hello. What the directions? You tell them. Sitting excessively. Someone asks you for directions, you're like, oh, yeah, hey, I can tell you. And then you just start having a little conversation. Yeah, where you want to go? Oh, that's cool. What are you doing over there? Like, all of a sudden, you're having a conversation. You don't need to have that conversation at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, the more contact that you have without you focusing on what is the task at hand, whether that be covered up rios, or, like, almost the mechanical, like, incentive goal, meaning someone asks you a question, therefore, you even try to answer back because you're a person, covered a brios, and therefore, a goal is telling them what that is. All of a sudden, you create a new goal. Why are you asking her what she's doing over there? Make conversation. What's the goal? Now, I don't think most people's goal is necessarily to start thinking about this woman, but I think the answer is that there really is no goal. It's to create a connection. Creating a connection with a woman, I just told that for no reason, knowing men, it just depends how fast your brain's going to work, or whatever. Okay, the testosterone is going to work, but you'll eventually get there. I'm not saying, again, you're not going to necessarily grab this woman, but you're going to start thinking automatically. It's because what else would you naturally do? And by the way, if you just think this is a term concept, although that's, I think, enough to make it valid, there's a lot of cool studies they did about this. It's totally, totally, totally true. But it should not be a chiddush, yeah. You should think about it for a little bit. Men think about women, women think about men, I have a feeling men think about women a little bit more often. So, when you have more contact, naturally, you just think more. It's not difficult. For some people, I've explained this to, for some reason, it's very difficult. Does everybody agree with what I'm saying, or is it difficult for some people to understand what that means?
Makes sense.
Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
With a good other motive, in other words, a reason to talk to her, can be relative. There could be those, as long as we don't trick ourselves that it's actually...
Yeah, but most exactly. times we are.
But what if this could lead to something?
I can give a weird example.
What if you're not married and this could lead to something?
Well, that's a goal that's not...
Even if you are married.
...important this goal.
Right.
So we're...
And, like, if you have 10 different girls that, wow, I want to continue this relationship because it might lead to something, something's wrong with you.
Is it Ravina
Gershon? Ravina Gershon is definitely a fact. Oh, but you're Sephardi.
Well, three.
Yeah. Oh, it's only three? I didn't know it was...
Logically, it's only three.
Okay.
Only.
Good luck.
That's true. Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with one.
You're going to stick with one?
Mm-hmm.
There was a story. Someone came here at a Kira seminar and told us about it. Like, his wife is was also a professor at Bar-Ilan. She does a lot of Kiruv. And so there was one Muslim that, like, really got a strong question from her. She said, you know, I really wanted to kill all... She said, like, Ron, I really wanted to kill all of you. I really hate Jews. But when I went to your seminar and, like, on Israel and what it means to, like, Jews. I actually get why you're here now. So you're not evil, you just want to live in your land. Or what you think is your land. Oh, I can respect that. She's like, can I ask, like, some books to read and what you did? And it was really cool, whatever. They had a little bit of a relationship. There was this, like, Zionist book, religious Zionist book going around some like, Arab village. So it was a whole really interesting thing. But near the end, she asked her for, like, serious advice. What was the serious advice? Her husband came home. They're both very from, well, religious Muslims. Pretty right wing.
Her husband came home. The woman is an Arab.
The woman is an Arab. The husband of this Arab came home one day.
And said, the teacher is a man or a woman?
The teacher is a woman. Okay. Because she's Jewish. She's Orthodox. Okay. And, but she's not in their home at the moment in this story. Okay. So this actually happened. No. And the husband says, I would like a second wife. Which is totally normal in those circles. But this very religious Muslim went to go ask this Orthodox Jewish professor at Rebbetzin in prison, says, I don't want to be that wife that says, I don't want you to have a second wife.
Everyone hates that wife.
I'm not sure everybody does. I'm not sure women hate that wife. But in any case, it's totally off topic. Anyway, we're going to talk about next time a little bit more about what is unnecessary speech. We're going to talk a little bit more about Bittul Torah. We're going to talk about that. Hair her we get, okay? It should take you about 20 seconds after you leave this apartment. Just think about why hair her will lead you to Bittul Torah. Good luck, okay? We're going to really figure out, what is this talking extra with your wife? Don't you have an obligation to talk to your wife? By the way, you do. So, what's...
It's probably going to be better for you.
What?
We're
going to be fun. Oh, okay. We have a VOD next week, don't we? I don't see why not.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, good. Everybody's going to be here, yeah?
Thanks to you.